cows getting down on the farm.
On a beautiful Arizona fall day, and yes, for Arizona, this is fall. I know a lot of you kind of turn your nose up at that, but for Arizona, you'll learn if you're new here, this is fall, and it's beautiful. This is probably why you're here, mm-hmm. why you moved here, because you know that the fall you went to, it's going to turn into a white winter. We're not going to have that in a lot of parts of Arizona, at least where most of the population is. And the great thing about that, if you want a white winter, man, you just get in a truck for 3 hours, 2 hours.
Yeah, there you go.
Get up to Flagstaff, there hit the go. Slopes, go over the White Mountains. We've got snow and we've got beautiful sunshine through the rest of it.
There you go. It is, however, not the reason I moved here.
No?
My parents moved me here when I was six, kicking and screaming in the back seat. Mm. So I didn't have much of a choice, but I love it here. But I love it here.
Well, good. And you've made quite an impact with the urban farm. As we're talking through your rules that you've developed.
For the fruit trees, yeah.
For the fruit trees. What about, we've talked chill hours.
Chill hours, yep. That's a really important one. If a tag on a tree doesn't tell you the variety and tell you the chill hours, don't buy it. In fact, I was recently at another big box store, and you know there's literally hundreds and hundreds of different varieties of peaches, right? The tag on this particular peach said, peach. That's it. That's all it said. It was like, you've got to be kidding me here. And, you know, somebody's going to buy that peach.
It's like going onto a Sanderson Ford and just says car.
Right. Exactly. 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 So be really conscious about what you're buying. And chill hours is one of them. The next piece is rootstocks. And in my experience of growing fruit trees here in the valley for over 30 years, I have never found, sans one, I have never found a dwarf rootstock that does well here in the desert. None of the citrus dwarf rootstocks work. None of the peaches, none of the apples. They just don't like the soils here.
So earlier we were talking about keeping trees small, and yep. My mind automatically went, well, he must be using a lot of dwarfs.
Nope.
But you're not.
Nope.
You're just spending that much time trimming a regular sized
Exactly.
rootstock. Okay.
And it takes a little bit more work up front, but once you have controlled the size of a tree, it'll stay smaller for you. It really does work very well. And that's part of what I teach. In December, we'll be offering tree pruning classes at two different locations here in the valley. And you can come down and get some hands-on experience and look at how we're pruning trees and, you know, how to prune them for size. So selecting the right rootstock is really important. Once again, another reason to plug into our tree program is because I don't bring in any trees that don't have the correct rootstocks on them.
So we've got chill hours, we've got rootstocks, ripening times. Does that go back into play with your consecutive harvesting?
Kind of.
Okay.
Here's this. Nobody knows this. This is a widely unknown piece of data that I've discovered over the past 15 years by planting out dozens and dozens of fruit trees, getting them to fruiting viability and finding out. So I experimented a lot. What you want to know about this is that if you're planting a soft flesh fruit tree, all your deciduous trees, so peaches, apricots, plums,
the flesh of
apples,
the trunk, not the flesh,
no, the flesh of the
fruit.
The flesh of the fruit.
Well, we are talking fruit, okay.
Flesh fruit. So apples, okay. Peaches, apricots, plums, grapes, those trees. You want to plant a variety that ripens and is fully off of the tree by July 10th. Otherwise, they just cook on the tree. I know, I've done it. You know, I planted an August Pride peach, and it, you know, after 5 years, I ended up taking it out. They just don't make viable fruits. I recently had somebody in one of my classes, and she said, oh, that's why my Red Baron peach, which is later July ripening, that's why my Red Baron peach never does anything. It's been 5 years and I've never had a peach. I said, yep, that's it. It's not a kind of peach you want. It's a beautiful peach, but good luck.
And I'm trying to picture the urban farm. You've got a great big shade tree in the back.
I do.
You can't even put it in the protective shade of this big pine and keep it preserved there.
Now, so there is one thing here about this. Some people experiment. My friend Jack out in Tempe, she's got a pink lady apple that she gets some pink lady apples off of. So you can get some fruit, I used to have a nice Asian pear in my front yard, and I planted it 28 years ago at the Urban Farm as a little pencil-sized tree. And over the course of the next 10 years, it grew up nicely, and I would get 3 to 15 fruits a year off of it.
So then it's just a matter of, is it worth keeping it for that little amount?
Exactly.
Because it's an ornamental, or
right.
Do we need to switch it out for something functioning?
Exactly.
And producing?
So, and pears, let's see here. Here's the ones that I don't suggest that people plant. Pears, nectarines, and cherries are the threes that they're almost impossible. So
give the urban farmers in other states business.
There you go.
Let them. They can't grow citrus. So we got a little exchange going on here.
Right, exactly. So those are my three big rules around trees. Know your chill hours, know your rootstocks, and know when they come ripe, because that's going to have you be successful right there.
And most of that should be on the tag. The ripening one, maybe not, but...
It depends. Often, they don't have a rootstock tag. So the rootstock tag is different than the fruit tree tag. So you should have at least 2 tags on your trees. So take note of that. The cool thing is, you can do your research. We all have smartphones these days. If you're sitting there looking at a fruit tree and you look at the rootstock tag and it says Nemagard for peaches, look up Nemagard for peaches in the desert and ding, 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 you're a bonus. If it's not, then...
Go to the next one.
Go to the next one, exactly. You know, I'll toot my own horn. Just come and see me. I'll give you all the free education you want. I guarantee our trees. It supports local and helps us out.
And now, that's not what's going on at Berry's today. The fruit tree program, you sign up, and they'll be delivered in January when they all get delivered, like you mentioned earlier.
Correct. So the September through December timeframe is learning how to plant your fruit trees, how to make them successful. This is when I do online classes. I do in-person classes. I've got my 3 Ways to Kill Your Fruit Trees class coming up online this next week. I've got So You Want to Plant a Fruit Tree coming up online. Urbanfarm.org, the front page. You can sign up for those free online classes. It takes about an hour a time. And, you know, honestly, whether you get trees from me or not, you want to come and take these trees because you're going to learn a lot.
And in that time between now and the planting, we've got time to put in the irrigation, get the design, select which varieties, and
yep.
do all the pre-work. And then when we get our trees, they're ready to go in the hole.
Exactly.
Now, on those 3 ways to kill, you've got a note here. You're going to give us a little preview on some of those.
Yeah. So there's 2 major ways and a minor way that I have seen hundreds and hundreds of trees killed. First one is we cook them. You put them in a very hot microclimate. A hot microclimate has gravel, it has block walls, and you expect your tree to survive in a really, really hot microclimate. Don't put gravel around the base of your trees. It's not a mulch. It's not going to have your trees thrive. And one of my rules around planting fruit trees is at least a 6-foot diameter basin with 6 inches of woody mulch. That is going to help so much. And come and take my classes, because I discovered something this year that I believe is the silver bullet of growing fruit trees in the desert. I'm not going to tell you today. You got to come and take my classes. But it is something that lowers the soil temperature in August in my front yard from 140 degrees at ground level to 89 degrees at ground level. That, I think, is going to be the silver bullet of growing fruit trees in the desert. It blew me away, the difference it made. So the other major way that people kill their trees is they overwater them.
Mm-hmm.
So if you water your tree and it looks a little droopy, what do you think? It needs more water. So what do? You give it more water. And then it droops a little more. And then what happens?
I must really need to add a lot of water.
Exactly. Fruit trees in the desert, if you have them planted correctly with the basins around them and my silver bullet in place, need to be watered once a month in the winter and twice a month in the summer. A good deep water. Fill up the basin with water. If you're watering more than that, it's likely you're going to be killing your trees. So don't overwater your trees. And, you know, buy an $8 item. It's called a moisture meter. We sell them at our nursery. Most nurseries have them. Follow the moisture meter. If it says it needs water, then that's when you give it water. And then the third way, that's a little bit more minor, but if you're planting your fruit trees in a lawn.
And hang on, before we get to lawn, on a moisture meter, mm-hmm. how long does that reading take, or is it something you just stick in the ground, you have to
stick
leave
in the
there?
Ground, it works just like that.
Okay. So if I've got on my urban orchard, mm-hmm. I could just carry it around from one, because
yep.
I've got citrus in row one,
yep.
I've got peaches in row two, I've got apples in row three, and they're all on different drip. Irrigation lines,
yeah.
So I can easily take it from one to the next.
Right.
Well, I don't need to buy one for each tree.
Right. Exactly. It's just you just carry. They're $8. You just carry it with you. You said drip. That's another way. So watering falls under the category. Drip irrigation falls under the category of watering. Drip is not a great way to water your trees. Remember I said they need to get a lot of water all at once and then dry out in between?
Mm-hmm.
Generally, if you have drip irrigation, you got a 1 gallon per hour of a drip emitter and it comes on for, what, four times a week for an hour? Wrong way to water your trees. So if you do have drip irrigation, you need to put 8 or 10 or 12 emitters around the base of your tree and let them run for 4 hours.
And I do.
Good.
And as soon as I have the time and the money, I'm putting bubblers in.
Got it.
Because what happens when you put 8 to 10 drip emitters around? That's 8 to 10 spaghetti lines for rodents to chew up, for them to break, for them to leak.
But we have a solution for you. Come and see me at the nursery on Saturday, and I have a solution for you on that.
I turn it on irrigation line. I spend 10 minutes per drip line going and replacing parts and pieces here.
Exactly.
So
I got a solution for you.
All right. I'll slip down after the broadcast and find out.
All right. Cool. And then the third way is to plant in lawn. Bermuda grass will outcompete your trees. I've seen it happen over and over and over again. So remember the 6 foot diameter, 6 inch basin around your tree?
Mm-hmm.
When you're planting in a lawn, you want to put a dig out a disc out of the yard, 6 inches deep, 6 foot diameter. You plant your tree on a mound in the middle and you fill that basin with 6 inches of woody mulch. That does two things for you. It builds really healthy soil, but the other thing it does is you probably have sprinklers in your lawn, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you've got sprinklers and you're sprinkling a fruit tree, that's way over watering it. So what the woody mulch does is it puts a barrier, an insulation barrier in place, and only the top inch of the woody mulch gets wet. And then once a month in the winter and twice a month in the summer, you deep water your trees. And then one more thing, you just need to weed whack around the edge of the basin and keep the grass out for the first year, year and a half. And then once the tree's established, you're golden.
Here in the Outdoor Living Hour with Farmer Greg, we have one more segment coming up on urban orcharding. Your goal, ultimately, at the end of the day, when your time's done, you would have liked to said, you know what? I taught Phoenix, Arizona
how to grow its own food tree
and became its own food island.
Yep. That's a great way of putting it. I love that. Can I use that?
Yeah, absolutely. I thought I was repeating what I heard you say.
Well, calling it a food island. I love that.